Hey friend, welcome to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. I'm so excited that you've decided to take some time out of your day to join me and tune in. I hope you find this podcast uplifting and empowering. Let's get to it. Hello, hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I am so excited that you have taken some time out of your day to tune in and listen to this conversation. Today, I am joined by Danielle Patrice. Welcome.
Thank you, Emily, for having me.
No problem. Let's dive right into our conversation. And have you just briefly introduce who you are and how you came to be working in the space?
So I'm a domestic violence survivor. I've been a motivational speaker for quite some time, speaking on my experience, also advocating to help further change, working with different, a lot of politicians and senators. So a few actually from my home state in New Jersey, just to talk about domestic violence and explain, you know, the impact of it. And so I would say also now, as of last year, I became a newly published author of Neuroscience, the Ecosystem of Domestic Violence.
Yeah, because abuse of any kind, domestic violence, childhood trauma, whatever it may be, has a far-reaching impact on an individual. It's not just surface level.
Exactly.
So share with us my words are jumbled in my head. So just give me a second. Share with us what your research has shown as to how domestic violence specifically impacts our neuro health.
Okay. So with domestic violence, in anything, there is something called in the brain called the limbic system.
Yes.
And in the limbic system, you have different components. You have the hippocampus, the amygdala, you have the thalamus. And I just want to say before I even get further, I'm not a neuroscientist. I'm a DV survivor who actually studied this information and turned into a research book. So just want to put it out there. So with that said, you know, the amygdala is also over where the anger comes into play. And so the emotional regulation, if there's any damage, you know, towards that part, that component, it is emotional dysregulation. Mm-hmm. And it can make that person become completely out of balance. There's also different parts and components of the brain where I know you've seen the actual picture of the brain. Mm-hmm. And it talks about, you know, the showing of the ridges. There's different ridges in the brain, which is called the gyrus. And parts of that is covered with gray matter. And so with the gray matter, if there's any reduction within that gray matter on that brain, is led to mental health, which is specifically in schizophrenia. And there's also other components comparing to in the brain with part of, like over here is the prefrontal cortex. Mm-hmm. And in that part of that brain, if there's any sort of damage to that part, then there's a possibility of this person becoming increased violent. And so that's part of that, just as a component, if there's any brain damage. We're not even talking about if there's any, you know, hormonal issues going on with that person, but there's an imbalance that's through over time. So that's just a lot of the studies that I discovered, you know, as I was working on this book.
Wow. So what were your three biggest takeaways from your research project process for your book?
So initially, when I started working on this book, it was about, you know, what's the dynamic between victim and abuser? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, it's three, right? So it seems like, one, that it's so much more complex than people realize. Mm-hmm. As far as, you know, the dynamic between victim and an abuser. that it's going from all the way up to societal levels. And that one of the components that I felt was important was the discovery or talking about the Pavlov's dogs as mm-hmm. it correlates to domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
The natural selection, Charles Darwin's survival of the fittest, which I also feel is very, you know, component, even though it's an important component, because we don't think about biology and domestic violence in the same sentence per se, but talking about it is also, you know, how we select our partners. And I think that's yeah. also a very important part of it, you know, and the mm-hmm. entertainment that comes along with, you know, how we watch TV or listen to music or whatever, that plays a bonus. And then I'll say the third one for me is just dealing with the actual life, you know, mm-hmm. where you're dealing with people, how enablers play a role. You know, when you have children are affected by this, how, you know, victim defendants that are not brought to the forefront. We know about victims and abusers, but nobody talks about victim defendants and how they're affected twice, being a victim within this abusive situation, but also because they're fighting back, they're getting charged, how they're being re-victimized, how they're also being thrown into the jail system or the prison system. So mm-hmm. it's a lot of things to really discover, but to narrow down to three, those are the takeaways.
Has what you've learned from the research that you did in the writing of your book helped you at all in your healing journey?
Absolutely. I think it brought a lot of validation. You know, mm-hmm. when I've done a lot of, you know, motivational speaking, and I've been met with, you know, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, and or just a lot of sympathy. But I felt with the information, what it did, it validated my experience mm-hmm. as a survivor. And it allowed me to understand that there's something deeper that is untapped. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, it's not brought to the forefront. It's not brought to the mainstream. It's not brought, you know, you don't hear a lot about this. Mm-hmm. So I felt that this, you know, I felt this, I don't want to say it's a love song, but this is definitely something for victims and survivors to say, yes, finally someone gets it. Mm-hmm. And I've lived through it to understand what I went through. And mm-hmm. to have the intellect to be able to not only research this, but to mm-hmm. share it amongst others.
Yeah. Yeah. What tips do you have for listeners who are looking for the first step or two?
In regards to
healing from domestic violence?
I would say that it's an ongoing process, that there's no end all mm-hmm. be all type of mm-hmm. thing. That for one, you know, you have to acknowledge that you are going through this, because a lot of people are in denial, and you have to honestly come to terms with that this is what happened. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, start rediscovering who you are. Start understanding yourself again. Because throughout that domestic violence process, you know, you're being stripped of who you are to become the shell of a person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at least I can speak that for myself. And so being in that situation, you have to kind of come out of that. And in a sense, almost, I compare it myself to like the physical, like rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. Because it's almost to the point where you are brainwashed, mm-hmm. in a sense, another form of brainwashing. And so you have to rehabilitate yourself to understanding yourself, reevaluate yourself to the mm-hmm. point where it's, you know, you're finding out who you are again. And you may mm-hmm. not be the same person that you were before you actually entered into this relationship, but you also have to understand and be gentle with yourself while you're healing and rediscovering yourself after the abuse.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to acknowledge it, because you can't change what you don't acknowledge, first of all.
Right.
And then you have to give yourself grace and be gentle with yourself.
Exactly.
And would you also agree that you need to learn how to love yourself again?
Absolutely. I believe that you need to love yourself, but it also, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
And that looks different for everybody. And that may take a day at a time. There may be, you know, putting boundaries up for yourself and saying, no, I don't allow this person to be in my life. And that's loving yourself, you know, mm-hmm. saying, I regard peace. I want peace in my life. This is, mm-hmm. I'm not anything that's less than, you know, that's love for yourself. So I think that for, you know, it's a general statement to say, love yourself, but what does that look like to you? And each person, you know, has a different story, what that looks like in different components and different parts. Because mm-hmm. you may love yourself, look, you may be good financially, but do you love yourself, you know, spiritually? Do you love yourself physically? Do you love yourself emotionally? What does that look like for you? So, yeah, I believe that just having the understanding yourself more will require you to love yourself more.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that. How have you used what you learned in the writing of your book to not just help yourself heal, but also to help your children heal?
That's a good one. That's a very good question. And thank you for asking that. I feel that it's the same thing with me, acknowledging their hurt and their pain, acknowledging mm-hmm. that not just I went through a situation with my ex-husband, mm-hmm. my children also went through a situation with their father. Mm-hmm. And that's also another process of healing, because I told my sons this before, you know, not say all the time, but I've told them this a few times where, you know, yes, I could have, you know, date someone else and have a whole nother life, whole nother husband. But at the same time, they've lost their father in all of this. Mm-hmm. You know, their father's not in their life. Their father is creating broken homes elsewhere. But at the same time, my children are the ones who suffer out of all of this. Even though I went through my situation, my children still suffer the most because they lost everything. They lost both sides. You know, they're losing the fact that, you know, their father is in this situation as an abuser. Their mother is victimized. And then we have this other part where dealing with homelessness, dealing with the emotional aspect, dealing with, you know, have these changes that are happening. So being gentle with them and what they need and being able to attend to their needs and their wants and making sure that I'm holding their hand every step of the way to help them heal. And, you know, and the most important thing for me is also acknowledging and talking to them that and making them aware that this is a safe space and that they are more than welcome to, they can love their father. They have every right to love their father, miss their father, respect and talk about their father, however they feel, care for their father, pray for their father, whatever they feel, and acknowledge their own feelings. If they're, you know, they're sad, they miss him, if they're angry with him, just allowing them to be human. Mm-hmm. I think that's most important to heal.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I think sometimes as adults, we can forget
yes.
that they also have had an experience, a less than positive experience. They've also exactly. experienced hurts. And, you know, chances are that if it's a domestic violence situation, they've witnessed some not so good things. And it doesn't make sense to them because they're cognitively not there yet. So it's a tough situation for everyone.
Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And this unfortunate part is, you know, whether the children have the memories or not.
Yeah.
You know, my younger son is young enough to where he doesn't remember as much. My older son, a little different, does have memories. So it's having to make sure that, you know, while he's getting older, also attend to his needs and making sure that he is able to verbalize. And if he has to talk about it, you know, his feelings, and that I make sure that I am attentive and I'm there for him, there for both of them, but to make sure that look, moving forward, this mm-hmm. is what this looks like, this situation looks like. So it's, you know, for me, it's about healing all of us, not just myself, making sure yeah. they're as they, you know, they're healed as they're growing up, because they're the next generation mm-hmm. and we don't want to repeat that next generation of that cycle falling into them, because what is called intergenerational violence. I don't want that for my children. So I want to make sure that I do what I can to be proactive and help them understand what took place and get to the point where they can become, you know, when they become men, be better mm-hmm. partners, be better husbands, be better fathers in their future.
Yeah. Yeah. Where can our listeners connect with you further if they would like to do so?
So I'm on Instagram, Speak Danielle Patrice. I'm also on Twitter, well, X, formerly as Twitter, but I am on Author D Patrice. So I was not able to get everything the same, but you'll find me on those two platforms.
Awesome. So I will include a link to Danielle Patrice's socials. Do you also have a website?
I do. I use a Linktree. And awesome. I also have for the link for the book, I also use Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com online. It's not in the stores, but it's online right now.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me, Danielle. It was a pleasure having you.
And thank you. The pleasure's all mine.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to tune in to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you would like more of the Mamahood After Trauma community, make sure to look in the description of this episode for the link to become a Mamahood After Trauma Inner Circle member. Until next time, Mama, keep